Okay, I can see myself on the screen. That means way, well.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for September the 16th, 2015. Can I have the roll call, please?
Bennett?
Here.
Burt?
Here.
Kapler?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Okay, so we had some minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the minutes from the August 19th meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion. Oh, you know what? Yeah, we're okay. I'm something getting ahead of myself. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from August 19th, 2015. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. Okay. So with that, welcome again to the Plan and Zone Commission. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to hear appropriate matters, replats, zoning, rezoning, things like that. So I see a number of you in the audience tonight. If you have interest in a particular case, I will ask you at the appropriate time to step to the podium to my right and to your left and state your name and address and then tell us about your interest in the particular case. So with that, Greg, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, the first case we have tonight is at State and 16th. And essentially what we're, or I should say, that is, okay, 18th. What we're looking at is Bites Vets is making a request to go from C3 to C4 zoning. And the reason they're doing that is they want to potentially add an addition here for a used car sales business. If they do so, they're non-conforming within this building right now. They cannot add to that structure unless they are under the correct zoning standard, which would be C4 for that area. So the request they make essentially is to take this area right here, which is all of lot 12, 11, and then 30.9 feet of lot 10, and change that from C3 to C4. The land use on this site right now is presently commercial, so that they could do that. And given the amount of mixing of different zoning classes within the area and the fact that this site and other adjoining sites have previously been used for car sales and the nature of this business being like it is, and I think everybody's seen it, it looks more like a museum than a used car lot or anything similar. So they're moving their business as well to Bettendorf from Davenport. Whatever they had in Davenport's coming to Bettendorf, and that's necessitating the increase in size of their building. So staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommends approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
So Greg, just on the map, can you indicate, because I don't see the map that shows the surrounding where we've got other C4 there, great.
You got C3 and C2 in the area. You had C4 that's intermittent throughout different parts of the downtown. And essentially you have land use being commercial throughout almost every place within the downtown area. We really don't have anything that says that per se that there has to be C4 next to this, because we have so many different things that are interspersed in downtown. That's always been that way. The fact that this has been an auto business of one sort or another for such a long time as well. Simply, when we change the ordinance in C3 to remove all used car lots, businesses like these will get caught up, of course, in that. And I think we may have actually added to some of the C4 area down, if you go down to 26th and or where the Grant and State split, I believe that one time was a C3 area and it got changed to C4 to accommodate a used car lot at that location.
Will they then be able to have outdoor sales of cars in addition to that today? It's all
they would, yeah.
Okay. Questions from others in the commission?
I do have one question. Greg, the slide that you had up before this with the lots, why are we only looking at a portion of lot 10?
This is block 10 right here.
Not that 10.
Yeah, the 10.
The one right next to 10, right. Between 11 and 9.
That 10.
Oh,
that
this 10. this is the 30.9 feet in the legal description that is part of this whole parcel. In other words, when these parcels get subdivided, and they've been subdivided so many times throughout so many years, they don't always go down and follow the lot of record. Sometimes somebody will just simply say, I don't want something, and then they'll deed it over, and they don't always follow the lot lines.
So what you have outlined here is the parcel?
The parcel, yeah.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, if I can add just a little background information. The Vites have, for a long time, had a their main operation down in downtown Davenport on Second Street. They're selling that building. That's where the license for their business was out of. So they need to change the license for their business over here. That necessitates them, if they're going to go to the state, getting a zoning letter from us saying that they're in compliance with the ordinance. So that's really what triggered this rezoning, was to bring their current site into compliance with the ordinance so they could get their license transferred.
Okay. Anyone else in the commission?
Paul? Mr. Beck, the question about outdoor storage is important to me. Can you tell me about what size, how much outside display area they would have in comparison to their building?
I think they would have to state that. I think most of what they will do, though, will be within confines of a building. I don't think they're going to be doing any outside storage, but it would have to meet all the standards that are in a commercial district for fencing and the like.
Well, that's just
except
it.
For
you know,
sales,
I'm
you
a
know.
Little bit reluctant to go along with this request because of the idea that this is a automotive service area that we're trying to put into the downtown. And historically, we have, at least this body, has rejected that in the past. And so I'm trying to, in my own mind, ask, why would we justify doing that now? And the only thing I can come up with is that this is not your typical used car lot with the banners and the lights and the whole bit, that this would be something a little more upscale. And in your opinion, is that correct? Is that?
Yes. I mean, they're going to continue to sell the same type of vehicles, which are collector cars that are not going to be like what we've seen in the past when we do look down State Street, for example, and look at the car lots that used to be there. That will not be of that variety or character.
But following Paul's line of thought, once this is in place, what's to prevent that from being a subsequent use mm-hmm. at that location?
You would basically, I mean, we've done it for the one business down at the end of State and also Grant. And the result of that was, a used car lot. Mm-hmm. We would look at what we have as zoning requirements for, you know, certain types of standards for sales or whatnot. I mean, we are not going to see the dismantling again as we saw at the one location where they were actually running a scrapyard out of the area, and we went after them and told them either clear it up, and they finally did get things under control. So it's a matter of what is being sold there, and given the size of this, it isn't going to be that large. But we've already established somewhat of a precedent by going from C3 to C4 for one individual, and this individual is asking for the same thing, except this will be right here, mostly indoor, and I can't guarantee anything other than what this individual will be doing pretty much.
Right.
I can't go beyond that, but again, we've already done this in the past, and if somebody's had problems with either business or a lot, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't heard anybody say that they don't like the way some of those look. Some of the other ones, I understand. That's what we tried to get rid of, and we did get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, we do have a design standard initiative underway. That project's supposed to be completed in mid-November. Plus, Christine and I have started going through the rewrite of the zoning ordinance, so we can address some of these things through ordinance requirements. I believe Mrs. Veit is also back at the podium.
At the back. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to state that the value of our cars and the type of cars that we sell, my husband and son shudder to think of them getting wet or getting dusty. To have a car sitting outside, I can't promise it will never happen, but it is not our standard, because they've got to stay inside where they can be dust free and bird dropping free and rain free. And not only that, but parked outside somebody could come along and break off a hood ornament and steal. Outside is not practical for our caliber of cars.
Well, frankly, it's probably me drooling on the window that would be your biggest mess, so.
Yes.
Yeah, you got some great stuff in there, so. But our concern, I think, is valid that Paul raises it. You today is what you've got absolutely fits. It's whether it fits for the long term for the demeanor and character of what we're trying to make downtown into. And if, Bill, we've got a way to establish and protect that moving forward, I think that would help me go a long way. Any other comments?
Well, I just wanted to say that our son is taking over the business due to my husband's health, and he has grown up with this, and he doesn't know any other type of cars to sell. He is very, very, very honest with the conditions. If somebody calls from Argentina and wants to know the value, you know, describe the car, we've got a reputation to uphold, and we're trying to stick to that, and he has no problem sticking with that, and he is absolutely a stickler about these cars being perfect, and you can't do that with them sitting outside.
Yep. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Thank you for your comments. Return to the commission.
I have no other questions.
Thanks, Paul. Anyone else? I'd entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve the rezoning of case 15-068, 1838 State Street from C3 to C4 as submitted.
Second.
Third.
This is Tom. All right, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15-068, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any discussion on this motion? Okay. Opposed? Same sign. It passes. Okay. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, we're taking two items together. One is this rezoning along with a final plat for Maple Glen 4th edition. What this is the plat came to us initially, and that's where we began to see some issues with a number of these properties having violated with additions to the structure or the way they were built originally. The setbacks were at issue. There were some lot widths that were not compliant. I believe we had 11 rear yard setbacks, 10 front yard setbacks, and 4 lot widths that were non-compliant throughout this addition. The route, after we looked at the code, the route that would be the most advantageous to remedying the situation was the PUD. There were some constraints in the PR overlay district that would not allow certain problems here to be remedied, and that's basically what we're looking at right now is the PUD, and I've handed each one of you the standards that we'll be looking at for the preliminary and final plan, and that's what we're bringing here this evening is the preliminary and final plan, the materials that we've had compiled within the package fulfill those requirements of the PUD for preliminary and final plan, and then also we have the final plat. What we're attempting to do is clean up as much of the overall development by looking at certain granting of design standards that you would have to recommend approval for. And essentially, we're looking at setbacks of 22 feet front and rear yard, the other setbacks that are needed, and the admission of the lot widths are contained on there if they happen to be of an extraordinary nature and all the lot widths have been called out. What we would like you to do then is essentially take a look at the standards that are in there and essentially adopt them as design standards so that we can correct many of the problems. What had occurred prior was we had these lots of record here, and this is the first edition. This is the one that will face Maple Crest Road. The second edition, again, you'll notice all of the lots of record. And then we go to the third edition. We again have lots of record, and there would be a duplex sitting on each one of these lots. Now, in the interim, or I should say, between the time these plats were recorded and where we're at right now, someone condoed out these units so that all you would have is this building footprint sitting by itself, and these lots of record were not being acknowledged by the county. Now, there was no replatting, so essentially you have a document that was trying to take the place of the plat, and essentially it really can't. These plats are still good in effect, but the county regarded these, and some of the people who are working as appraisers for the lenders, for the banks who are going to finance the purchase of these condominium units, still view it as just one box with a common wall. And that's where the problem has arisen, that many of the residents are unable to convey these units because the appraiser comes out for the person who's going to take out the loan to buy one of these units, and they see this, when in reality you still have this, and there's ambiguities. What we've done, including in your packet, is to take a look at what has already been approved. And the data has already been approved here back in the 1990s for the preliminary plat. The sewer map has been evaluated and made by our engineering department to locate all the utilities to show exactly where everything is currently laid out. And we have this plat here now for the fourth edition showing all the lot divisions down the common walls. What we need is to correct those shortcomings as noted here, where all of these red boxes indicate rear yard setback issues. This magenta color here indicates the front yard setback issues. And the purple areas here indicate where the lot widths are not sufficient enough to meet the code either under an R3 or R4 standard. But under PUD procedures, what you can essentially do is state, okay, that these things are part of the design, but they are only for these lots, and essentially nothing else can be built in those setback areas beyond what is already there today. And that's why we're looking at this. That's why we're here tonight, to try to remedy this so that all of these nonconformities can be cleared up, and then the PUD, the language can be placed upon it so that any appraiser or any bank looking at whether or not they should back a loan from one of these units will know that this is a PUD, just like the PUD up here, and if you see it, that's all dense up there, that would not have been allowed, this PUD to the north, under regular R4 or R3 standard zoning as townhouses with that density. You have a far less dense development here than you do up here in this PUD. All we're trying to do is remedy these things that seemingly occurred under the perception that every one of these was somehow a condominium unit as opposed to really being sitting on a lot of record all these years. And that's why we do have all of these setback issues.
So that's really the crux of it, Greg, that at some point somebody decided to add on a porch or whatever it was, and the perception or understanding belief was at the time that, oh, I'm not subject to a setback because there's no
lot. Common line. Ground, they felt that there wasn't any rear yard line or front yard line in some cases, because essentially you were just looking at a unit and all this ground here, everything around it was all held in common in their belief.
That makes sense for the rear yard. I'm not sure how you get past the front yard setback on that theory, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, they essentially did not look at the placement of these. Whoever established the condominium alignment really didn't look at where these were being placed as they should have.
And maybe, well, intuitively I'd say, so what keeps this from happening in a future mm-hmm. condominium situation again?
I think what we have to have is, well, number one, the procedure that we have is one that requires basically that would be a replat, and they have to come to us in order for it to be legitimate. What happened here was that maybe the developers went and recorded a document that was never brought forward to the city staff, because there is no record of what this configuration, any of these look like. It's described in a document. They have to come to us to do the replatting, and really essentially it would be almost the courthouse telling us, okay, someone's come down here, but we don't have a resolution for this. We don't have the platting documentation for it. We have nothing to show that this ever went before any city council. So unfortunately, some stuff people may take something down to the courthouse, but essentially the courthouse has to realize, okay, where's that resolution that says this got approved as a replatted area? And also, the notification required during a replat is something that's in state law. There are other more onerous state procedures for that particular procedure than almost any other procedure we undertake in the city. So we're almost really waiting for the county to sort of, okay, red flag, somebody has done something down here, is this kosher? You know, I mean, did they go through the right procedures? Because we almost have to have ESP to know what somebody did in this instance. And it was only when we went through and searching through some documentation on the internet, on the website for the county, that this document pops up and it says, okay, here, these were condoed out. And that's the only indication we had.
That's your clue, yeah. Wow, okay.
Where does the building permit come into play?
The building permits are showing, when these were built out, again, the building permits followed the 1993 condoing document. So in other words, you're really looking again as these being regarded more as common areas. And that's where the conflict comes in, because in fact they are not common areas. They are being held, or they will be, well, they are being held. Each of these two units has its own lot, and that's the problem. So essentially we're trying to remedy, you know, the problem is all the ground held in common now is really, we're trying to bring it back into some confines so it can be conveyed and then clean all these mistakes up.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarification's sake, nobody that's sitting before you tonight was here at the time.
Glad to hear that, Bill. Yeah. That's the entire room, probably, maybe, but at least this part of it. So good. Good. So, Greg, anything else from your perspective relative to this then?
I would just say that the requirements that under preliminary plan, I think I've laid those out before you, the justifications for it, and then also the documentation within here regarding the blanket type coverage for rear and front yard setbacks, but then the specifics for the lot widths for the lots up here in this lot here, and then the specifics for those rear yard setback areas, those lots that are outside the 22-foot variance area, or I should say not variance area, but 22-foot design area, and then these lots along here and here that are also out of that area. I've enumerated those. This should be part of the record, I guess, is where Planning and Zoning Commission is recommending we go and drawing up the documentation so City Council can see and vote on this as a rezoning PUD with all these conditions listed so that we may clean up all of these nonconformities.
Yep.
So there won't be any, all this common area, it's all going to be part of someone's property.
It's going to be part of somebody. It really already is under, since there was no replatting done, but essentially it will go to what you see in the fourth edition of Maple Glen edition, that being the final plat.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're done, lot two, it looks like there might be enough room for somebody to come in and build there. That's,
yeah.
I'm
on the first circle.
Right here?
On the left.
Over by Sunburst Drive.
They can land.
Oh, you mean over here?
No,
now
south of
this.
Now
south.
No, this area here
keep
is
going,
a,
up, keep going.
So, side of the street.
Right here.
Yes.
That's
right.
The only lot that's still not built.
And that's part of
Cordova. That's part of the what was or is the third edition presently.
That's a pipeline easement, Greg. It will not.
Oh, right
be
here
well,
is a pipeline easement.
There. It looks like there's space.
This
there.
Is the only vacant lot that is still left.
So that isn't part of the first condo or the first building coming in off of Sunburst Drive.
No, this is an actual vacant lot. This is the only one that's left out of all of them.
It looks like it's part of that.
And that'll be lot 49 in
this,
the new.
This lot right here.
Oh, on the new one.
Yeah.
The easement runs right in this area here. And this is the buildable area right in this area here.
It's a big lot. Questions from the commission? I have one, Greg. So as a PUD and as it being approved with all the exceptions, essentially, if somebody's non-conforming today, rear porch burned down, we wouldn't let them rebuild it. But under the PUD, it can be reestablished because it's conforming.
We would permit that to be rebuilt to the exact standards. And if you want to include language in that regard as part of the motion, you can do that.
The exact standards being as it was or of the
same footprint.
Yeah. Because you couldn't encroach more.
No.
You're only allowed to encroach up to what you previously
what
encroached.
You got, yeah.
Okay. You're also in the commission.
What about future decks?
They better not encroach. They got to get a variance if they do.
They would have to come in and amend the PUD plan is what they would have to do.
Yeah, because basically you're freezing this as it is today.
Yep.
Basically what you're doing. That's what the design standard that you've given us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just basically saying this PUD is as it is today.
Yep.
And that basically is making them whole. And if somebody wants to put a deck in, then they're going to have to come back and do whatever they have to do. And
mm-hmm. How would that homeowner know that?
Hopefully their homeowners association is going to tell them that.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they would come in to get a building permit. We could apprise them of that.
Yeah. And if they could build it within the setback, there would be no required Board of Adjustment action or anything as long as it met standards.
As long as it meets the standards.
But if it was going to go, it's at 22 and it's going to be 23, then they'd have to get a variance or a Board of Adjustment. Okay.
I just could see how someone would look around the neighborhood and say, well, I want a deck just like that. And how are they going to know they can't have it?
Well, a permit.
When they go to get a permit, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to the city.
So I see the final plat, that's lot 49 that I was mentioning earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not specifically mentioned anywhere in here. So what parameters does it fall under?
It would fall into the 22 and 22, essentially. 22 feet front yard, 22 feet rear yard setback.
Okay. That's in the next paragraph.
And it's really not right now part of that area that's considered common, even though it's not common.
No, it's a lot of record on its own. And
anyone else from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? You're all up there, okay. We'll return to the commission then.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 15069, the planned unit PUD for Maple Glen First Edition.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15069, subject to staff recommendations, and with the further maybe condition that any development be at the then current standard and not to exceed what is currently in place.
I don't know.
That's correct.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 15069 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to commend Greg on his diligence with this. I'd have given up on this a long time ago. And kept at it, got it.
I think
figured
you had
out.
The right guy on this one. So thank you, Greg. Yeah, that's like a needle in a haystack to follow the thread through this.
Thanks.
So do we take then 15051 with this as well, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of 15051 subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15051 subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 15051 is approved. And again, thanks for the work on Greg. That was a... When I first read that, I'm like, what is going on here? So I really appreciate the explanation. You guys are probably saying the same thing, right? What is going on here? So, all right, we fixed it, we think so. Okay, Greg.
The next case, Mr. Chairman, is the final platting of what is probably the remaining ground for the park area. The first edition has already been done. right here. Second addition is going to be encompassing what is left, which is a rather sizable and rugged area out north of what was already platted. This is the first addition right here, and this is where the first park area was staged in, approximately in this area. Second addition, as you can see, has a great deal of changing topography with Spencer Creek running through here, and the floodway's already been delineated. We've already looked at that and made sure that the certain procedures, if anything were to be built in that area, that they'd have to comply with all the FEMA standards and all of our state and local and federal standards. So this is the topo showing essentially the outline right here of the park. This is the final plat. It says it's delineated, again showing the boundaries for the flood event for 100 year and then also the floodway. Staff, in reviewing this proposal and looking at it, felt that we would make recommendation for approval for the final plat of Forest Grove Park, second edition. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
Looks like it's going to be a beautiful park.
Yeah, I think so, too. Okay, anyone in the audience with regard to the park plat? Nope. Okay, back to the commission.
I move that we approve case number 15-072, subject to staff recommendations.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15-072, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 15-072 is approved. Greg.
Mr. Chairman, our next case is an addition. You've already seen the building process that's taking place in this area. We're looking at another building coming in a proposed 100-year floodplain area for Mr. Hong Lee, and this structure will be placed here. This is the existing structure. The new building will be placed in this area right here. You've got Duck Creek running through this area. Again, this is where the building will be built, in Duck Creek over in here. Standards that are necessary, our engineering department and our building department have reviewed these to make sure that none of the area will be put below the 100-year floodplain and that within the building structure. This is the original site plan showing entry in and the original structure here. And originally you had a driveway coming in the back and going to the parking lot. The structure, the new one, will be built on track three of this site. The first one was on track two. This is part of what is going to be remedied here as a essentially as a connection, not against the building, but brought out around the building. What you can see here, you have one connection and then you have another one that has recently been built to create a good circular pattern for traffic moving around between this building and the existing structure. So essentially you're going to have an area for commercial building here. The lower floor will not have any mechanicals or anything in it. It could be used potentially for some type of storage or garage, but it will not be used for any habitation purposes or any commercial purposes. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommends approval of the building addition. I would ask, are there any questions?
So the lower elevation will not be occupied?
Mm-mm. Mr. Chairman, the lower elevation could be used for low potential damage storage. Mr. Lee has a granite countertop business. I think he's intending upon putting some of his granite slabs down.
I saw some reference to that, yeah.
Yeah.
It won't float away.
Probably not.
Questions from the commission?
Greg, I have a question. We're building on the 100-year floodplain, right?
You're filling.
and filling. So aren't there restrictions? I mean, why are we allowed to do that?
They're FEMA standards, and Mr. Lee has gone through those. Bill might be able to elaborate more on that.
Yeah, it might look like a basement to you, but basically what it is a deep foundation.
No, I'm not.
And there are vents so that if the flood water does come up, it completely equalizes the same storage capacity there was before, because it's filling that foundation of the building. So this isn't a situation. Sometimes you have to replace floodplain if you take it away. This isn't that situation. The foundation of his building basically is taking that flood water.
So basically he's building on stilts, if you will. The basement, it's not really stilts, but essentially that's what it's functioning as.
That's correct, and FEMA requires 1 square inch of opening for equalization for every square foot of area, cross-sectional area of the wall. So I think Mr. Lee had numerous flood vents in that original building, and this will be constructed the same way.
So essentially this isn't taking away any of the storage capacity, if you will, from that floodplain.
No, it's, again, the foundation will fill up just as though it was not there.
Okay, well, that was my question. Yeah. Thank you. One more question. I noticed in the plan it says the manufacturing. Will he be doing manufacturing there? And if he does, is that allowed?
We did talk to him about that. That was not his intent. That was something that his architect put on the plan.
Okay.
He's going to store the granite slabs on a lower level.
All right, thank you.
Would cutting of granite constitute manufacturing?
If he has machinery down there to do that, it probably would, yes. So we're any electrical, any utility, it's all got to be elevated up above that 100-year floodplain. So it's going to make it difficult to accomplish that down in that lower level.
Okay.
And uninsurable.
Yeah. Anyone else in the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Brian Gerskis. I'm managing a partner with Gator Properties LLC 4. I, 3.5 years ago, bought the Alpine Center, which is a pretty big structure next to it. And I'm just concerned. I saw the flooding that we had before, and boy, when it comes up, it comes up. And you know, they did put a lot more dirt in there since they filled, and I don't know if pockets would be deep enough if a lawsuit ever came here, because this would be very embarrassing, because I want to be guaranteed that that's out of the flood zone. I mean, I'm telling you, because when that water comes up, it comes up.
On the picture, Greg, that you showed, there was already dirt being brought into the site. There we go. So how does that play into Brian's comment then?
I mean, I saw a lot of dirt coming in there for the last 6-8 months. I'm very concerned, because, I mean, I've got $1 million of investment over there. Now we finally got it pretty much filled. It was a mess till I bought it.
When somebody wants to do any fill or any development in the floodplain, we require them to get an engineer. They do an analysis that they're not going to adversely affect anybody upstream or downstream or adjacent. They also will certify that the fill is not going to change that flood level upstream or downstream also. Townsend Engineering was the engineering firm that did this. Primarily, the area that was filled was the area of the parking lot. In looking at this photograph that Greg has, that fill will probably need to be excavated so they can get the foundation underneath it and have the open area underneath. So why it looks like that, I don't have a good answer for you. We have filling that takes place in 100-year floodplain down in the Onion Fields area. We always go through the proper channels with that. I do understand Mr. Gerskis's concerns, because he's right there next to Duck Creek with a portion of his property, but he also is elevated a little bit higher than this property is.
Yeah, but if you remember when it flooded, which I didn't own back then, it went high, went to the edge. It was in the parking lot.
I recall that.
And you know what? There's been a lot of dirt put next door to me, a lot.
You are allowed to fill in the flood plain. You are not allowed to fill in the flood way. That's why on the plan we asked them to delineate the flood way, and Greg's showing you that line there. So there's no fill in flood way, no structure in flood way. So we went through the proper channels. We got floodplain development permits. We got the engineering reports. Engineers have signed off on it. Can I give anybody 100% guarantee that they're never going to see any water on their property? No.
No.
But we have gone through.
That's not good enough for me, though. I mean, engineers sign off on a lot of stuff, and bridges collapse, things happen. I've just got a lot invested over here, and I think that before you guys make any decision, you better come out and look at it. Because I made a couple calls over to the when this was going up, and the guy says, don't worry, they can't do anything more there. I mean, when they were talking about there it is, that was where the water would lay. It's got to go somewhere. Go take a bath and just start filling your bathtub when you're sitting in there. You want to take your chance with, you know, I got $2.5 million tied up next door.
Well, I think from our standpoint, Brian, we have to operate on the basis that it's been engineered and that they have gotten the appropriate permits, and that permit would require them to stay out of the flood way with any of the fill. So if they've gone into the flood way with the fill, that would not be in agreement with the permit, if I'm understanding it right, Bill.
That's correct.
But they do have the right to fill in the flood zone. Am I saying that correctly?
They do.
In the flood plain.
Yeah. Right. As long as they can certify that they're not going to raise flood levels for adjoining properties.
And that criteria evidently has been met or certified, although I know it doesn't solve your immediate guarantee issue, which to Bill's point, we can't develop that. But if it's been met and engineered and tested, I don't know what else we can do. That's the requirements we have to operate under.
Can I have all that stuff in writing? That all it has been? I'd like to see copies of all that. I mean, I actually demand to see copies of it.
Our public code requires it, so we would not be able to approve it if it were not in conformance with our code. So
I know, but I want to see a copy of it. I want to see it myself. I just see what things goes on a lot of these places down, you know. Doesn't always turn out for the best. You know, you're talking about FEMA. That's not really they don't have an outstanding record. And they'll do a lot of politicians. I'm not blaming you guys, but, I mean, I'm a straight shooter. I just want to have straight answers. And I want to see it. I like to see it on my desk in a hard copy.
All the planning
signed off.
These are all public documents, so you're welcome to have copies of whatever you'd like.
Well, you'll get the copies for me.
We can send them to you.
All right. I would like to request them send them to me, and I'd appreciate that. That's all. I just want to make sure. That's all. I'm not here. I like to see it look like a really nice place they built next door. I'm just a little concerned. And I've had a lot of people talk to me about it since. You know, I've been in Bendor for a long time, and it, you know, water comes up. It's been a dry summer.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate your comments.
Do you know when I'd be able to expect that later?
We lost the mic back there.
It has to go to council for final approval. So once it's finally approved and done, we can send copies to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Back to the commission then.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 15-064, the site development plan, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded to approve case 15-064, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 15-064 is approved, and we're going to get them some documents when it's finalized.
Could I just ask a question about those documents? Would they include the engineer's report?
Yeah, we've got the floodplain development permit and the supporting documentation.
So that's all included?
Yes.
Those are all required as part of the review process. Okay. So, yes, all that information is public record.
All right, good. Thank you.
Okay. Greg.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, the next case that we have here involves Interstate 74 Tech Park. And it's in the process of being rezoned, this area in blue. And also, it's already been approved, that area, for the final plat. This is a view essentially being right here at 40th Avenue comes into the site, and then looking southeast and looking south over here, Golden Valley Drive, and then you have the water tower here, and you have the telephone company business within that area. It's pretty well overgrown right now, but the proposal being brought tonight, it will encompass this lot right here, lot one. The original site development plan for this area only encompassed this area. Tonight, we're going to add essentially this to what was the existing plan that had been proposed in the past. You've got three buildings sitting on lot one, means of entry coming in off of 40th Avenue, and then circulation around the structures. You have a detention pond right here and here that goes into the storm sewer system. You can see here the layout of the parking and the circulation around two means of entry coming in off of 40th Avenue, and each of these buildings being proposed as such. Structure will look like this. This is the treatment. And essentially, staff and looking at this, looking at the landscape plan, recommends approval for this particular site development plan for lot one of Interstate 74 Technology Park, fourth edition. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
Greg, when we talked about this initially, there was conversation about accommodating semis in here. Is that still the intent? And if so, can you?
I believe there's a bay that we have here, and I think there's a bay here. I don't know about this structure here having that bay, but I believe these two buildings will have areas capable of bringing in and then unloading at these locations particular semi vehicles.
Well, fortunately for the community of Bettendorf, I'm not a semi driver. It's hard for me to envision how trucks of that size are going to get in here, but I don't think it would be approved if they couldn't, so it just looks really tight to me.
Yeah, we looked at, I guess, the turning radii based on the fire department standard that they use.
So all of the ingress and egress would be on 40th Avenue?
Yes. The lot that's adjoining over in this direction, we don't know at this time if Golden Valley Drive will be stubbed through or not. That's something that's still up in the air.
And that's not a signaled intersection?
I don't believe it is, no, not 40th Avenue.
Right.
I have to agree. I think especially the backing in motion down to these truck docks looks very, very tight. I'm not sure if the fire department would have looked at that.
Be short.
Probably not planning on backing into the loading docks. Concerns with that.
It does look extremely tight to me, particularly when you think about it. You could have people parking at the top of that ramp.
Not me.
How deep are the parking stalls that are shown next to the first building?
They're 18 feet deep.
18, so there's probably close to a couple of those, 36. It is amazing with a truck with a trailer how they can essentially jackknife it back in. Those guys know how to do it. We do some of that in my day job. It's probably, it wouldn't be ideal, but it's probably very doable. The one on the other building at this, I'll call it the south end or bottom, that looks a little short for a semi-stub on the one side, but it's got the long tail. Kevin, is Kevin's here? Can you address the turning radius in that?
I'm Kevin Kellner with Bill DeSue petitioning here. We don't have tenants specific, so that is shown as an option. I don't anticipate 53-foot trailers. I would see more like a drop ship freight, the shorter versions. We're not pursuing, you know, a tenant that's going to have frequent truck traffic. This would be just like, less than truckload, you know, partial shipments. These are going to be smaller businesses the way we see it. The first building has an overhead door for drive-in. The building to the south, that would be drive-in as well. That's not a truck dock. We showed the one truck dock just in case we had somebody that would want something like that. But I don't anticipate there being a huge amount of truck traffic and 53-foot trailers, because I agree they navigating that is going to be, there aren't that many good drivers these days. That wouldn't work. So we just showed that in anticipation that somebody might want that dock high situation, but I would anticipate that being the shorter, I call them the day drop, you know, shippers.
Okay.
Craig, on that same site, thanks, Kevin. Yeah. I might stay there for just a minute. On the site plan you're on the left side, upper left there, there's handicaps parking shown. Yep. What do those serve?
Assuming they'd be serving this building right here.
On the other side of the...
Well, maybe we have to ask Mr. Kellner, I think, but there's some right here already, too.
You've saw got, those, yep.
This may be a build-out addition. Is that right, Kevin, that you're maybe thinking?
Yeah, we what we plan on doing is starting with the building to the east, and we probably go south. We have an option on the lot two to the west. And so what we anticipated was some cross parking easements down the road, so that parking could be shared. So we've overparked for what we're doing, but we're setting up that we would continue west with the development.
So one more question while you're up there, Kevin, sorry. As a practical matter, with aging parents and challenges of parking and proximity, I see you've got, for example, in the one building, the handicapped in the middle of the building, and then a long way down, will there be doors at the other end of the building that customers and things, does it make sense to spread out the handicapped parking or to have it just centralized? Because you got a pretty good distance on some of them from where the designated space is to where I'm guessing doors could be.
Yeah. So the east building, the front of the building is west, obviously. We could spread that out. I have no issue with that.
Just a thought.
Again, we don't know. I think what we're going to have on the north end of the first building is a 6,000-foot tenant. It's probably going to be a physical fitness type use. So the ADA stalls there being used, you know, would be unlikely. I don't think the engineer knew that. I think he just put them in the center, to be honest with you. But
okay.
We can split them up.
Sure.
It shouldn't affect our parking count. Like I said, we have more than enough. So,
like to see that. Good.
You can make that a condition, and we can have Rebecca Meyer change that.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just make a comment on
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know how this works as far as patrolling. You know, if it's a larger tractor trailer, if that's a 20-foot radius there, I mean that I don't believe that would be able to accommodate a larger semi. We'd probably need to take a look at that, and I don't know. Like I say, I don't know how you can, if this site is set up to handle that, or how we determine if they're going to have those types of vehicles in there or not. But if it is the larger tractor trailers, that would be an issue.
Okay. So would we address that potentially at a use?
Well, I mean, we could work with them before council meeting, I'm sure, and get that taken care of, to, you know, depending on what type of use it is. I don't think that would be an issue.
And if you're over parked, maybe you could use some of those parking spaces for extra depth.
And I'm more worried about, I guess, in the right of way there off of 40th Avenue, entering and exiting, and for the ADA ramps there and that type of thing. That's my main concern.
Yep. Okay.
So the number of handicap spots meet the requirements? They just kind of look not very like enough.
Well, to Mr. Kellner's point, I think the engineer just put them on there.
Okay.
We do that analysis at the time we come in and figure out what the occupancy of the building is okay. going to be specifically.
Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. We'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve case number 15-070, subject to the staff recommendations and with some slight modifications to be made prior to city council meeting.
To address larger
the
truck access,
truck access,
ingress and egress,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. docking.
Docking.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second with additional comment and staff recommendations to approve case 15-070. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 15-070 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, the next case before us involves an area that we've seen under development for quite some time. I believe it was in the last 2 years you oversaw this addition being brought forth for LeClaire Manufacturing. What they want to do now is put parking in to accommodate that which was displaced somewhat in this area and for additional employees. Prior view of the area we're considering tonight was essentially a drive, a means of access coming back in this direction to the back portion of the foundry. And this was the site plan of that area to some extent back here, showing the detention pond, and that detention pond is back up in that area. The building has since been built out so that now we've got this addition which blocks access to Zimmerman Drive from the back. This is the detention area back here. This is the status right now is the structure that was placed over here is now here. Access in, this is all gravel, which will soon be placed in a cement covering for the parking lot. This essentially shows the location on the plat where the parking lot is proposed. This is the parking lot here. The building addition that was built out is right here. Again, the parking lot, this locale, the detention basin, which also brings some water through this direction, and then the storm sewer system taking the water out. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, makes a recommendation for approval with the conditions in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm abstaining from this.
Okay, so noted. Questions from the commission?
Greg, the stormwater that you're showing, the movement of the stormwater that you're showing us on this slide right now, is that currently in place or is that being created?
I believe that the system is in place, but I believe
everything's in place currently. It's the detention pond that needs to be resized.
Okay. To accommodate the new parking surface.
Correct.
So the detention pond is there and it's moving water currently. We're just making it bigger to accommodate more parking.
Right. As they added more impervious surface, we required that they, number one, come in and get site development plan approval. Number two, that they make sure that they've accounted for the additional impervious surface runoff.
Okay. Makes perfect sense. Thank you.
Anyone else on the commission?
It looks like they've added some screening between the new parking lot and Valley Drive.
good. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 15-017, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15-071, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 15-071 is approved. And I think that takes us to you, Bill.
Mr. Chairman, subsequent to your last meeting, you had looked at a land use amendment, a rezoning, a final plat, and a site development plan for Blackhawk Bank. That did go to the City Council. Everything went through on the first reading as the rules were waived for that, so that's ready to go.
Great.
City Council had the public hearing last night, and did approve the consideration for 325 16th and 1625 Grant from C2 to C3. 40th Avenue, the Kellner project that you looked at tonight, did approve the land use amendment, the rezoning, and the replat. We had a rezoning and a replat for RIA Federal that was approved by council. The replat of Gegner's Addition was approved by council, and the site development plan for the Scott County Family Y was approved by the City Council. We did have a successful second reading of the adoption of the comprehensive plan last night.
Good.
And we have started the draft of the zoning ordinance, so well, everybody will continue to diligently work on that, and we'll see if we can get this big project completed and start to work on implementing it.
Well, appreciate in advance your efforts on that, because that is a big project, so great. Anything else for the good of the order this evening? Take a motion?
Adjourned.
Adjourned.